Chapter 36. The Galileo crew had left behind the world of the sand whalers and the monoliths with, as far as Frank Wood was concerned, a sigh of relief. And it was only when they were safely in the air, passing over yet more clones of dead Mars, one every second, that Frank began to relax, that the military man inside him began, grudgingly, to release his hold on events. How they had got away from ferocious fire-spitting land dragons and harpoon-hurling sand whalers, not to mention some kind of monstrous, unseen Martian tyrannosaur, without harm to themselves or their equipment, he had no idea. And he kept remembering that crustacean prince, as Frank had labelled him, or her, in his head, humiliated by his leader with one of Willis's stepper boxes. What kind of consequence was that going to have? But, he supposed, that was a problem for the future, not for right here, right now. In the days that followed, while Willis paged through the screeds of images the whalers had retrieved for him from the monoliths, and Sally sank back into her own default mode of wary silence, Frank spent a lot of time asleep, nerves slowly recovering. He wasn't as young as he used to be. And he was only peripherally aware of the new jokers the expedition came upon, and paused to study. A flooded Mars where, it looked like, the whole of the northern hemisphere was drowned by an ocean. Here, beasts not unlike the sand whales roamed the land, while what looked like cities floated on tremendous rafts on the sea. Fishermen, crustacean types, came ashore in land yachts to hunt the whales, just as on Earth land dwellers harvested the fruit of the sea. A drier Mars, whose copy of Mangala Vallis was nevertheless covered by forests of tough, low, needle-leaved trees. Willis was tempted to linger here because he thought he saw two forest clumps in slow motion conflict with each other, a war waged at the speed a flower grew.
"Birnam Wood, besieging Dunsinane," he said.
But they could not afford a long enough stay to study this slow encounter properly. A plain, covered in rocky coils, like heaps of rope. Willis's first guess was that these were some kind of volcanic extrusion, but when he took Thor down for a closer look, the coils unwound into pillars of basalt, gaping mouths opened, and gouts of flame shot out of the hastily retreating glider. Another variation on the theme of sand whale. Once, Sally swore, on a moist but chill Mars, a glacial Mars, she saw a herd of reindeer, off in the northern mist, coats shaggy, antlers held high, animals much larger than their terrestrial equivalent. But the others could not see it, and the cameras could not penetrate the mist for a clear image. None of them understood what this vision, like a race memory of the Ice Age, might mean. And every so often, Frank thought he saw flickering forms in the valleys of Mangala far below, translucent sacks like survival bubbles, gaunt forms like landed sand yachts, as if they were being followed. Probably the product of paranoid dreams, he thought. Finally, 11 weeks since the landing and nearly 3 million steps from the gap, Willis Lindsay said he thought he had found what he was looking for.